Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the U.S. and other nations that are pressuring him to make a ceasefire deal with Hamas and bring the hostages home are misguided.
The pressure internationally must be directed at these killers, at Hamas, not at Israel.
President Biden played second fiddle to Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris in Pittsburgh yesterday.
She has a backbone like a ramrod. And she has the moral compass of a saint. This woman knows what she's doing.
Pope Francis is resting in Indonesia today, the first country he'll visit in Asia, on an especially ambitious trip for the 87-year-old leader of the world's 1.4 billion Catholics. A preview from CBS's Anna Matrenga.
Pope Francis has arrived in Jakarta for the first leg of the longest and most challenging trip of his papacy. He's traveling more than 20,000 miles over 12 days and will visit four countries.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic running mate Tim Walz tells a Labor Day crowd of supporters in Milwaukee that Donald Trump is keen to enact so-called right-to-work laws that disadvantage workers.
It means the right to work for less money. It means the right to work in dangerous situations. It means the right to work with no pensions. That's what right to work means.
Press pool vans following Walz were involved in a crash on their way to the speech. A Harris campaign staffer reportedly suffered a broken arm. A reporter may have had a concussion. President Biden travels to southwest Wisconsin on Thursday. He's expected to talk about the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Meanwhile, Donald Trump will hold a campaign rally in central Wisconsin on Saturday. Trump campaign says it will happen at the airport in Mosinee starting at 1 in the afternoon. This is Civic Media News.
Milwaukee's leading the pack. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers have a 10-game lead in the division after Labor Day thanks to a 9-3 win over the Cardinals yesterday. Jackson Chourio hit a grand slam to help Milwaukee get the victory. The Brewers and Cardinals play Game 2 of their series tonight. The NFL season kicks off on Thursday with the Chiefs and Ravens. On Friday, the Green Bay Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. It's the first time that an NFL game will be played in that country. Wide receiver Christian Watson said he's not sure what to expect out of the trip.
Just to be locked in, dialed in. The number one message this week has just been the details. If we focus in on the fundamentals and the details and, we go out there, we're going to be able to execute. You know, we know we got the players to do everything and accomplish everything that we need to. We handle the details and just, let everything else fall in place.
Kickoff between the Packers and Eagles will be after 7 p.m. Friday night. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media Thursday and Friday. And with sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today with a high of 75 this afternoon. Tonight, clear 58. Tomorrow, sunshine 78 on Thursday. Warmer 84, but we are going to get a bit of a taste of fall by the upcoming weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Tuesday. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. I hope you enjoyed a three-day weekend. Now it's time to get back to business as we kick off a new month. We're looking at a beautiful next couple of days, sunny and in the upper 70s. A chance of thunderstorms comes toward the end of the week just before a cool front moves in. We'll talk about it this morning with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Now that schools are in session, we visit North Crawford School District in Southwest Wisconsin this morning. They are setting a new standard for school nutrition by prioritizing locally sourced ingredients, including produce and beef. Our own Charity Seebecker will bring us the story in the bottom of the hour. And we can't forget, market advisor John Heinberg is here with us on a Tuesday morning. We'll have him outline what are potential market movers as we start September. But first, we head up to the northern end of the world's longest barn in Madison to visit with Wisconsin Farm Bureau. Stick around.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
Well, we're rolling into that fall harvest season, but the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation is really busy working on a lot of different aspects related to agriculture. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire, and I have the president of Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, Brad Olson. Let's just start right out the gate and talk about this Agriculture Road Improvement Program, or ARIP. There's a lot of construction happening on those roads out there. What's the Farm Bureau's stance on this road project?
Farm Bureau was the major push behind getting the ARIP program pushed through the legislature, signed by the government, full support of both sides of the aisle, which we don't see a lot today, but The first round of grant money was given out. $50 million was given out here a couple, 3 weeks ago to 37 projects around the state that work on agriculture roads. If that's heavy loads of milk, lots of grain, whatever it is, those roads have been posted by the town or the county in the past to apply. And when this work is done with the grant money, those roads cannot be posted in the future again. So they have to be built up to specifications that can handle that weight. These projects will rebuild local roads that carry the 10.8 billion pounds of agricultural goods produced each year from farming and forestry operations around the state and have over a $1.5 billion economic impact.
And now the first round of funding has gone out. But there's a second round available. So how can those towns and counties apply for some of that funding for the second round?
Yep, and it actually gets twice as good in the second round because they gave out $50 million in the first round for 37 different projects around the state. But on this second round, there's $100 million that goes out in grant projects around the state. So double the money this second time around. The grants are due at September 30th at 5 o'clock. And if your town or county, local municipality is looking for that, they can easily go on to WFBF.com and find more information as how to sign up there, as well as the Towns Association is heavily involved in this, the Counties Association. So all of our associations around the state are really involved in this, trying to get municipalities, be that towns or counties, to apply for this money, because we all know that the need is out there for this funding. We need to show the legislature and the Department of Transportation the great need. So we encourage everybody who's looking at working on a road that would fit in this area to get those applications in and show the great need that is out there to fix our rural town and county roads and get them up to the specifications they need to be for agriculture around the state.
Is there any assistance offered through the Farm Bureau to help with the paperwork?
It's pretty much a one-page application. It is very simple. A few questions of what the road is. Probably the biggest drawback maybe is it does need to be engineered, but I don't think anybody should look at that as a drawback, because once you've hired that engineer to do the engineering work on that road, that's good for almost ever. If that road needs to be fixed and you don't get the AREIP funding, you're probably going to be looking at going after the local road improvement funding in the next year or two to work on that road, another grant from the state. So it is not money wasted to get that road engineered to see what it needs to be. That engineering study is good down the road for other programs within the state to go after different funding than just the AREIP funding.
Rural roads always seem to need a little bit of help. As I drive around, I go off the beaten path an awful lot, and good to hear about that money out there. And we're talking with the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, Brad Olson. Let's talk about those federal milk marketing orders. What's the Farm Bureau stance on what the proposal is that has come out?
Well, like everything else in government, there's things that we agree on, and there's some things in there that are pretty detrimental to Wisconsin dairy farms. You know, we're looking at, they've put in it to go back to the higher of, which would certainly help. That would gain farmers about an average of 52 cents a hundred on their milk checks. But the trade-off to that is a make allowance that is going to cost us 78 cents. So an increase of 52, a decrease of 78. No one needs a calculator to see that does not, at the end of the day, help our farmers in Wisconsin. At the end of the day, that's going to be a net of approximately 26 cents coming out of our farmers' milk checks over and above today. And that is just really not acceptable for agriculture in Wisconsin. Federal Market Order 30, which is Wisconsin, Minnesota, a little bit of Illinois and the Dakotas, but mainly Wisconsin and Minnesota, in this proposal has really taken the brunt of the negative side of this federal milk marketing order draft proposal. We are the ones, along with California, that are getting beat up and actually going to, we'll just say, lose money in this. You know, if we're going to lose another 26 cents, that's something, as milk prices have been depressed for some time now, it's just something that our farmers cannot survive with. We need that 26 cents just like other parts of the nation do. And so the deadline on comments is September 13th to USDA. So again, at Farm Bureau, we would encourage everybody to look at things, make your decisions, and comment to USDA on this. And you can make those comments by simply going to, there again, WFBF.com, and under the current policy tab, current issues in agriculture, we've got information there that has went out to our members to help them draft a letter to USDA explaining the issues that we have with it. Because while we at Farm Bureau and American Farm Bureau can send comments and other organizations, it really comes down to our members. That farmer who writes a letter and sends their concerns to USDA, at the end of the day, is more important than an organization sending it, because it is that boots on the ground person doing it. So I would encourage everyone listening and to tell your friends and neighbors to look it over, make comments, and because it really is, it is you, the dairy farmer, that will make this turnaround and show USDA the light and hopefully get some changes before the final ruling comes out.
What about those annual meetings? they're just getting amped up right now, aren't they?
They're just starting now. Over the next 5 to 6 weeks, all 61 farm bureaus around the state will be holding their annual meetings, and an excellent time for members to get to their annual meeting and have your voices heard in your organization of setting our policies and sending policies to the state annual meeting of what you want to see Farm Bureau work on, what you want the priorities of Farm Bureau to be over the next year or two or three even. Some of them are long, we realize, long-term resolutions. There's not a quick fix, but like I said, every county in the next 5 to 6 weeks here will be having it, and I encourage everybody to get out and get involved, because that's how you make a difference. That's how we make a difference, getting involved, having your voice heard. If you've got an idea that you think is good policy for Wisconsin Farm Bureau, get your neighbors together, go to your annual meeting, and discuss that. Bring that idea in front of your county board and see if they agree, and get it to the state annual meeting and do good things for agriculture in Wisconsin. The state annual meeting is always the first weekend of December at the Kalahari Resort. And there again, at these annual meetings, they will elect delegates to go and vote on all of the resolutions coming forward on policy. So if you want a chance to be involved in that, not just talking about it at your county level, but also at the state level, that is your opportunity to be a delegate to the annual meeting. So you don't necessarily have to be a board member of your county to be one. There again, if you want to be involved, if you want your voice heard, an excellent chance. The annual meeting is December 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. So Friday through Monday of December. Friday is for the young farmer and agriculturists, and kind of Saturday, and the annual meeting starts about 3 o'clock Saturday and runs through the policy meeting, which ends give or take on noon on Monday.
The Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation always has a lot going on. It's always good to catch up with their president, Brad Olson. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
So you won't miss out on the county fair experience yet this year. You can find the schedule at wifairs.com. You'll also find that we at the Midwest Farm Report are teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to capture your fair memories. Maybe it was your first blue ribbon. Maybe it was the first date with your now husband or wife. Whatever special memory you have at the fair, you can record yourself on either audio or video, or you can just write it down and you could submit that fair story at our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. The grand champion prize is $500 and the deadline is November 1st. Stu Muck joins us this morning, our ag meteorologist. Stu, I know you've probably got a treasure trove of fair stories. Do you think you might submit one this year?
I'll have to think about that and get my family involved because we're a three-generation 4-H and fair family, so I know we can come up with some idea.
And I know you got to spend some time at the Sheboygan County Fair this weekend. It was certainly good weather for that. Do you expect the fair weather to continue?
It does continue. This week is very nice. A little warm up here as we head toward midweek and maybe even a little rain chance trying to build in. And then things change. We cool it a bit for the weekend ahead. Let's back it up here and talk about today, though, with high pressure just trying to slide a bit off to our east. We are going to be in for another sunny, bright, very, very fine day. A little weak system out in western South Dakota. I had to zoom the radar out quite a bit to find some rain in Idaho, Montana, western Wyoming. That activity staying off to our west yet today. The rain chance I expect here in Wisconsin starts developing as we look toward Thursday or into Thursday night. Not a great deal of rain either, maybe up to a tenth or a quarter of an inch, but a bit of rain as we head through Thursday and Thursday night. And then we cool it off, so we start pushing up toward the 80s again here through midweek. And later this week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, down in the 60s, there may be a 50 for a high in northern Wisconsin wrapping up the week. A bit of a cool down for the first full week of September coming our way. It does improve again later on in the next week. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Football players are equipped with standard equipment, helmet, shoulder pads, and cleats. What if the entire front line was issued Bobcat equipment from Bobcat Plus? Not only would the game be more interesting, the added Bobcat attachments would make cleanup and turf grooming so much easier for the groundskeeper.
Visit Bobcat Plus in Appleton and BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Stu, I did get a message from one of our rainfall reporters who was with Pam Yonke out in Alaska for her farm tour. So it sounds like the Alaska crew is back. And hey, not bad weather to come back to here in Wisconsin as we kick off September.
It's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, this weekend was great. Today, still following suit. Sunny skies, mid-70s for most of us, and south winds about 5 to 10. Staying clear in the nighttime. Very low 50s, maybe an upper 40 here or there. Don't be too surprised. South breezes about 5. Another sunny day. Wednesday, we push into the upper 70s and low 80s. The south winds at 5 to 10. It's Thursday. West and northwest Wisconsin with showers early. The showers developing further east and southeast through later Thursday into Thursday night. I mentioned a tenth of an inch to about a quarter inch should be about the extent of rain. And by Friday, we get back to sunny skies in the upper 60s, low 60s, or maybe even an upper 50 just to start the weekend, and then slowly warming back up into the 70s by Monday and into next week. Great conditions, Stephanie, only that one rain chance to look at.
Do we know if that's going to be sizable yet?
No, it isn't going to turn out to be much, just enough to slow us down. And with all the hay cut in my neighborhood, they're all hoping it's not much.
Yeah, hopefully get that hay off the ground before it falls. Stu Muck along with us, our ag meteorologist. Don't forget, though, you can tell us your fair story for a chance at a $500 cash prize. You might have to compete with Stu and his family's fair story, but submit that at MidwestFarmReport.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the U.S. and other nations that are pressuring him to make a ceasefire deal with Hamas and bring the hostages home are misguided.
The pressure internationally must be directed at these killers, at Hamas. Not at Israel.
President Biden played second fiddle to Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris in Pittsburgh yesterday.
She has a backbone like a ramrod. And she has the moral compass of a saint. This woman knows what she's doing.
Pope Francis is resting in Indonesia today, the first country he'll visit in Asia, on an especially ambitious trip for the 87-year-old leader of the world's 1.4 billion Catholics. A preview from CBS's Anna Matrenga.
Pope Francis has arrived in Jakarta for the first leg of the longest and most challenging trip of his papacy. He's traveling more than 20,000 miles over 12 days and will visit four countries.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans to reroute part of Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 in northern Wisconsin are now in the hands of federal regulators. Enbridge aims to address environmental concerns. The tribe's lawyer is Gussie Lord. She says it's not enough.
This reroute is not a solution. It's a full solution to the dangers of the current pipeline. In fact, it really extends the dangers of the pipeline and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. Six different hunting seasons are underway in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says early seasons for Canada goose and teal, as well as mourning dove, rail, snipe, and common gallinule, all opened this weekend. The Canada goose population in Wisconsin is about 40% higher than average this year. This is Civic Media News.
Milwaukee's leading the pack. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers have a 10-game lead in the division after Labor Day thanks to a 9-3 win over the Cardinals yesterday. Jackson Chourio hit a grand slam to help Milwaukee get the victory. The Brewers and Cardinals play Game 2 of their series tonight. The NFL season kicks off on Thursday with the Chiefs and Ravens. On Friday, the Green Bay Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. It's the first time that an NFL game will be played in that country. Wide receiver Christian Watson said he's not sure what to expect out of the trip.
Just to be locked in, dialed in. The number one message this week has just been the details. If we focus in on the fundamentals and the details and, we go out there, we're going to be able to execute. You know, we know we got the players to do everything and accomplish everything that we need to. We handle the details and just, let everything else fall in place.
Kickoff between the Packers and Eagles will be after 7 p.m. Friday night. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media Thursday and Friday. And with sports, I'm Jimmy Cusco.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a high of 75 this afternoon. Tonight, clear 58. Tomorrow, sunshine 78 on Thursday. Warmer 84, but we are going to get a bit of a taste of fall by the upcoming weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Amendment 6, a repeal of Florida's public funding of elections option, faces voters on November 5th. Such small donor matching systems help candidates outside the political machine structure to compete and can help limit special interest influence. Voters passed a 1998 constitutional amendment creating a method of public financing for campaigns for statewide office and affirmed it again in 2010. Gubernatorial candidates must raise $150,000 in $250 amounts, which the state matches 2-to-1 or 1-to-1 above the threshold. The matching threshold for cabinet candidates is $100,000. Taking public money also requires adherence to spending limits, which in 2022 were over $30.28 million for governor and lieutenant governor, about $2 per registered voter. For attorney general and other cabinet offices, the cost was about $1 per voter. The Miami Herald reports that since 2010, $33 million in matching campaign funding has been spent. Amy Keith of Common Cause Florida said in a March statement, "Let's be clear, seeking to repeal laws that address this issue of special interests and big campaign donors is a step backwards. It silences the voices of everyday Floridians and gives favor to the wealthy to corrupt our politics." Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually a really good idea. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Door at that spot the first 10, 12 weeks of the season.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report as we kick off the bottom of the hour on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. Today in the Old Farmer's Almanac, they tell us that in September, we can expect to see a natural phenomenon. I apologize if you have arachnophobia, but this is the time of year when baby spiders leave the nest. This reminds me of the book Charlotte's Web, when the little spiders let off some silk and take off. The Old Farmer's Almanac says census traps mounted on airplanes have caught spiderlings at 15,000 feet. They can ascend all the way to a jet stream and cross oceans. But in your backyard, it might look like a fine silver fabric is draped over the lawn. Something to watch for in September, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac. September also means school is in session. Charity Seebecker takes us to North Crawford School District in southwest Wisconsin. They're focused on locally sourced ingredients, including beef and produce.
In response to pandemic-related food supply disruptions, the district has successfully transitioned to using local beef and produce, significantly improving meal quality and supporting regional farmers. Jen Campanis, North Crawford School District Director of Food Services, says that this initiative not only boosts the nutritional value of their school meals, but also fosters community engagement and sustainability.
So during COVID, we were noticing that there was a major shortage in the food supply chain, and this was affecting everyone in the grocery store and, of course, all school districts. So the federal government came up with some funds called Supply Chain Assistance Funds, and Wisconsin had funds called Local Foods for Schools. We were able to take advantage of those in the time where we were having a hard time getting food anywhere but locally. So we got grant funding, and immediately I began sourcing everything that we could locally. So when we did that, though, it was such a boost in the improvement of our meal quality that it's something that I knew that we needed to continue to sustain here at North Crawford.
So where are you sourcing this fresh beef from then, and how did you choose this supplier?
So here in the Gayes Mill Soldiers Grove area, we are rich in agriculture with multiple family farms. So for us, it wasn't really too difficult to just put the word out and say, hey, local farmers, local families, who wants to do business with us? There's a little bit of a vetting process. You know, we have to make sure that farms are, you know, processing meat to USDA standards. And the USDA also has a procurement process that we have to go through. But once we figured out who we could use, as far as that goes, it was pretty simple. So we have three families in the area that we're buying beef from. That would be Young Family Farms and Spring Creek Meats and Mountain Lane Farms is who we're using now. And then, of course, we're always open to hearing from other people on the beef front.
So how long have you been sourcing from these farmers then? Or just how much are you going through, or what kind of cuts? Kind of give us an example of just that you're getting this beef. How are you using it?
Okay, so we really started sourcing local beef fully in 2020. That means we were not getting any more meat from our commodity source. So every school district has allocated funds, and you can use that from kind of a, for lack of a better term, like a shopping list that the state provides us. And there's beef and chicken, and there's fruits and veggies, and it's mostly highly processed foods. So at that time, I decided, okay, we're not getting any more of our commodities in beef. We're only going to source beef locally, just because I felt like the quality of the meat that we were getting from our commodities was just really poor. So once we made that switch, I was like, you know, we definitely can't go back. So we get a lot of ground beef because it's so versatile. I mean, if you have ground beef, you can essentially
there's a million ways to process it. We get pre-patted beef for our burgers, which has been a huge hit when we made that switch. Several students were like, is this real meat? We're like, yeah, it is. It's amazing. And then we get beef stew meat, and we make a lot of dishes from that, Mongolian beef and, you know, like beef tips and noodles or like beef tips and gravy. We do some like special holiday meals with stew meat. So we probably did more than 500 pounds in patties in this last year, but we also bought some at the end of the last school year for this coming year. And then probably about 800 pounds in ground beef in the last school year. But then we also bought some, again, at the end of the school year to carry us into this new year.
And besides beef, what are some of the other locally sourced foods that you guys are incorporating into your school meals?
Well, we live in an area that's just surrounded by beautiful apple orchards. So we're getting a lot of apples, and we are incorporating that into a lot of scratch cooking, a breakfast at lunch, and then, of course, just having fresh apples all the time. We are sourcing potatoes and corn when we can. We get asparagus in season from a really great farm out of Waseca. And winter squash, that's a big one for us, green beans. It's a little bit tricky with produce. Like, I've used this example in the media before with Brussels sprouts. Our kids like roasted Brussels sprouts. If we buy them locally, then they're whole and unprocessed. So we need to be able to process those, clean them up, cut them in half, which is a lot of time. So with that, sometimes we choose not to buy locally because we can buy it, you know, from our prime vendor, and we can buy stuff ready to go. So we really have to look at time management for us when we're sourcing produce locally to see what's going to be the best fit for our kitchen. But we do definitely want to buy as fresh and local as possible as often as we can.
That's Jen Kapanis, the North Crawford School District Director of Food Services, along with us. As school gets underway, she says that she and her team are excited to provide quality nutrition to students while also educating them on where it's coming from. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Thank you, Charity. Hey, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a look at what our commodity prices are doing on a Tuesday morning next.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
We're excited to announce that the Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to capture your fair memories. Maybe it was your first blue ribbon. Maybe it was the first date with your now husband or wife. Whatever special memory you have at the fair, you can record yourself on audio or video, or you can just write it down, and you can submit that fair story at our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. The grand champion prize is $500. The deadline to submit your fair story is November 1st. You can do that again at MidwestFarmReport.com. Tuesday morning from Chicago, cash corn is trading down a quarter of a cent at 377 3/4. December new crop corn down a penny and a half at 399 1/2. Cash beans are trading up 7 cents at 989 a bushel. November new crop beans down a half a cent at 999 1/2. And cash and new crop wheat is down a penny and a quarter at 531 1/2. In other news, the State Department of Health Services has confirmed that two Wisconsinites have passed away and another was hospitalized because of the West Nile virus. The first three human cases of the virus were residents of Outagamie, Fond du Lac, and Brown County. The best way to protect yourself is to prevent mosquito bites. Mosquito activity and the risk of infection of West Nile virus is going to continue into the fall until there is a hard frost. Until then, wear bug spray. Make sure to get rid of any standing water lying around your house as well. Mosquitoes only need as much as a bottle cap full of water to lay hundreds of eggs. You can find a full tip sheet at MidwestFarmReport.com. Moving on to our dairy markets, the September Class 3 milk contract is trading down 2 cents at $22.39 a hundredweight. The October contract is down 4 cents at $22.83 a hundredweight. Looking ahead to November, that's down a penny, trading at $22.51 a hundredweight. That's what's going on a Tuesday, and you're not going to want to go anywhere. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend is joining us live in just a few minutes.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Now, Wisconsin already has a version of this in place at the state level. Ed says that this bill would expand and strengthen the program.
Yeah, so the ACRE Act is short for the Access to Credit for Our Rural Economy Act. It's in both the House and the Senate, so it is a bicameral bill, and it's a bipartisan bill, which is really great, especially in this congressional environment. But what the ACRE Act does is it reduces interest rates for rural landowners, especially on the farmland side, timberland, all those types of things. Rural homeowners, if you're in a town of less than 2,500 or an open country, and aquaculture. And it does that by removing the taxation on income earned from interest on those types of loans.
So this bill directly impacts the bank, but you're saying that in turn, it would also benefit the bank's customers.
Exactly. By lowering the cost for the bank to put the loan together, it will lower the cost to have, or the cost of an interest rate, essentially. Our analysis shows that it will lower costs 50 to 150 basis points on interest rates. And in this high interest rate environment, that makes a lot of sense to us. We've really been talking about this policy for 25 years, but we didn't have the rising interest rate environment we have now. And it made a lot of sense to really start pushing the ACRE Act to going forward to make sure that farmers and ranchers can see the benefits they need to see in the lending environment.
It sounds like you've also made the effort to put in some stipulations or requirements on who can benefit. Towns of a certain size, for example. So you've made the effort to center this around rural America. Can you tell me more about that?
With the ACRE Act, we wanted to make sure that it was a rural-focused bill and a farmer, rancher, rural homeowner-focused piece of legislation. You always got to be careful with legislation that it doesn't become too broad or it doesn't bring in groups that really shouldn't benefit. So we really tried to narrow the scope, keeping it to farmland. And farmland is a pretty broad definition. You have timberland, you have ranch land, you have basically anything that falls under USDA's definition of farmland. But on the housing side, we wanted to make sure that housing was included because housing costs aren't coming down. And in rural America, we got to make sure that people are coming back to these communities and living in these communities. So we really wanted to narrow the scope, keep it to smaller towns. And 2,500 was a good number to use because that's used in other lenders across the system. So we didn't really want to create anything that hasn't been out there before, but we wanted to make sure that the benefits that we see at other lending areas carries over to the banking side as well, which ultimately benefits farmers and ranchers and rural homeowners. Anything you can do to lower interest rates right now is a good idea.
I know the American Bankers Association was thinking about not just new agricultural clients or rural clients, but current clients. Do you expect that the ACRE Act will not only encourage people to start or expand an ag operation, but also to be able to continue an existing one?
Yeah, so I think that's an important thing to remember with ACRE. Existing loans would qualify. Now, there's a process that would have to go in place and some things the bank would have to do to make sure that existing loans are brought under this umbrella, but all future loans would qualify as well. And to us, ACRE is really part of the solution, right? We have a potential economic downturn coming in ag right now. We're trying to get a farm bill done. Well, that's half the equation to get the farm bill side done, make the beginning farmer programs better, all those types of things. ACRE is the other half of the solution. So when you get a farm bill finished and you have some things done at USDA, now you put ACRE on top of it. And for beginning farmers and ranchers, this will really drive down their cost of getting into the business, getting into ag. And it's not getting any cheaper, unfortunately. So we have to make sure that we have tools like this in the toolbox for our lenders to use.
To your point, interest rates are still high. Farming doesn't get less expensive. But these issues are putting some momentum on the ACRE Act. The American Bankers Association, you guys recently testified to the House Ag Committee on the farm economy. Can you tell us what the financial situation is today that this ACRE Act could alleviate?
Yeah, so USDA is predicting a 27% downfall in farm income over the next year. And we as bankers really see this early on. We do a lot of operating loans that are year to year. So we're already feeling the effects of where the ag economy is going. So we wanted to make sure at that hearing that we elaborated on those points, right, that we're seeing it, we're feeling it, we're paying attention to it. To us, you add the ACRE Act in and you start to lower those costs for farmers and ranchers. That's really big when you have a potential economic downturn coming. You have to help them improve their cash flow, make margins a little bit better, and ACRE is definitely a way to get there.
You said this is both bicameral and bipartisan. So what is the appetite among our congressional members to get this passed, especially when we're up against an election and the farm bill conversations are still going on?
Yeah, timing is not ideal right now for a lot of reasons. Like you said, elections coming up. We're trying to get farm bill done. There are 67 co-sponsors on the House side. There's four on the Senate side. We've really got to work it through the process. We have to have hearings. We have to have more discussion. So getting it done this year might be a little interesting, but to us, this is not a one-year deal. This is a long-term thing that has to be done. So you'll continue to hear from us in the future, even if it doesn't get all the way through this year.
Before our conversation, Ed, you said Wisconsin has a version of the ACRE Act already in place at the state level. Any anecdotal responses or feedback from Wisconsin's rural banks on how it's been successful or why it needs to pass at the national level?
It's a lot smaller version than what the federal version would be, but your state has already said we need this at the state level. It includes small businesses in Wisconsin. So from that level, we're seeing folks that want to have this happen. And, you know, dairy is always a tight industry. It's doing all right now, but you never know where that's going to go. So we have to make sure that, you know, this works across all industries. And in a state like Wisconsin, with a lot of small dairy farms, there's always potential for bad times or tighter times. So we need to make sure that things like Acre are there to help them get through.
He says in the United States, 80% of banks have agriculture in their portfolio. Ed Elfman says that just underscores how big of an impact the Acre Act could have on rural America. For the Midwest Farm Report,
The Shaw, WAUK. The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Agriculture has to better control the narrative on sustainability. Next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The agriculture industry cannot afford to let outsiders decide what is or isn't sustainable within agriculture. So says Austin Gellings. He's a poultry farmer and director of agricultural services for the Association of Equipment Manufacturers.
So often we've been late to the table and stuff has kind of been dictated for us. So how can we, as we're doing these really good things, continue to be good about telling our story and be at the table from the beginning to really make sure that policy and all of those other things falls right in line with what we're already doing as an industry and what makes sense for us to do as an industry moving forward?
Gelling says farmers are doing a lot to move the industry toward carbon neutrality.
We want to build trust that agriculture is doing the right thing. And within the general public, there may be some skepticism about that. And agriculture sometimes gets a bad rap from an environmental sustainability standpoint. Whereas internally to the industry, we know we're doing a lot of good things. And so just how can we be better about continuing to tell that story and helping lead the conversation?
Gellings appeared in a recent episode of the Farm Food Facts podcast from U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action. There's a link on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.